This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Lee, Bitcoin Jungle, Costa Rica.
Dominical is a beach town located in Costa Rica on the county's Pacific coast. It's known for its beautiful beaches, surfing opportunities, and its proximity to natural attractions like Marino Ballena National Park. Is this the next Bitcoin hotspot?
No.
Bringing the Lightning Network to the browser is an interesting concept.
Yes.
Surfing the waves helped me to clear my mind.
No.
I buy all my groceries with Bitcoin.
No.
Guaro, often referred as aguardiente, is a popular distilled alcoholic beverage in several Spanish-speaking countries, particularly in Latin America. It's similar to rum in that it's often made from sugarcane, but it is typically clear and can have a high alcohol content. The name aguardiente literally translates to fire water or burning water in Spanish, reflecting its strong and sometimes fiery taste. Do you prefer to drink guaro straight over using it in a cocktail?
Yes.
My life is dope and I do dope shit.
Yes.
By the end of 2024, Bitcoin Jungle wallet will surpass 10,000 users.
Yes.
Do you own a pet?
Yes.
Gallo Pinto is a traditional Costa Rican breakfast. It is a very simple dish with white rice and black or red beans salted in oil with diced onions, sweet peppers, and fresh coriander. Do you prefer Gallo Pinto over the American breakfast?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 90 of Connect the World, almost hitting 100, Steph. This show is made possible by our friends from BL3P, the European Bitcoin Exchange. Thank you guys for helping us with our mission. And if you also want to help out, then head over to our Twitter account, follow us there, or subscribe at our YouTube channel. And if you have any questions at all, then go to our Telegram groups and you can ask us anything. A donation, of course, is always welcome.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, we don't have George from the jungle, but we have Lee from the jungle, guys.
Welcome, Lee.
Welcome, Lee.
Hi, hey.
Good to have you on the show,
great.
Man.
Yeah, well, the answers, the yes and no answers, were very short, but very interesting, I think. I must ask Steph first, surfing the waves helped me clear my mind. What did you read? Because Lee said no.
I was thinking, I mean, he lives on a surfing hotspot, actually.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, surfing.
And he looks like a surfer.
Yeah, you look like a real surf dude. So I was like, he must surf the waves, right? But you don't surf at all, or...
I'm actually a bit of an imposter. I'm learning how to surf. So I take lessons. I go out on my own. And yeah. Uvita actually has some smaller waves. Dominical is pretty tough.
Okay.
And people die there. So I'm taking lessons. I'm practicing up. But yeah, I definitely, when I surf, it is my workout and not super relaxing.
Okay.
So
no,
definitely
no.
Not clearing your mind.
Not clearing.
Surfing, no.
That's fun.
And are there other things you do then to clear your mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a big swimmer.
Okay.
So we have some amazing swimming holes, like natural swimming holes kind of at the base of waterfalls. We have maybe 10 of them within 5 minutes of my house. I spend a lot of time there, and that's where I clear my mind.
Okay. Makes sense. But and then swimming at the same coast, it isn't dangerous at all then? I mean, there are no sharks or no big waves?
In the ocean, we don't really have sharks. There are rays, you know, stingrays. Mm-hmm. So those can get you, and riptides. So you got to be careful in the ocean.
Yeah. For sure. But how is the snorkeling opportunity? Is there a reef? There are a lot of reefs, right? Because the thing is, I went to Malaysia once. I love to snorkel. It's like my favorite holiday activity. And then I was traveling with another guy, and he said to me, "Oh, you have to go to Costa Rica. It's so beautiful." And the thing was, I booked a round trip through Costa Rica in 2019, and we were all packed up and stuff. And just a week later, Corona. A week before we would depart from Holland, Corona hits the world, and then all the stuff got canceled. So I'm so frustrated that it didn't work out for us, because it was only because also my wife got pregnant and now we have two little kids. So hell no, I'm not going to travel all the way to Costa Rica now with my two little boys, you know. So so I'm so frustrated that it didn't work out for me. But can you tell me, the flora and fauna in Costa Rica are amazing, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a scuba diver, so I do dive around here. There's some really good reefs. Unfortunately, this year is a El Nino year, so we're facing water temperatures, right, which is really affecting the reefs in terms of bleaching and things like that. So I actually work with it's called the Coral Costa Rica Coral Restoration Project.
Okay, great.
It is the first nonprofit initiative that's been allowed to operate in a national park here. And we do go out diving. We attempt to recover pieces of viable, living, healthy coral, and we bring it back to the lab. We reproduce them, we keep them alive, and then once the water temperatures go down, we go back out and replant and reseed the reefs.
That's amazing, because the strange thing was, I went to Malaysia twice, and between the two journeys, there was only 3 years or something, and I really saw the degradation of the coral with my own eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to the exact same spot when I was the 3 years before, and I could recognize it, but I really saw the degradation of the coral, and it really hurt me. And it was also because in Costa Rica, in Malaysia, the part where I was, it was the Perhentian Islands. I don't know if you have ever heard of them, but beautiful, by the way. But there were a lot of tourists, and all the guides, they weren't hard enough to the tourists, because a lot of tourists just used the paddles to stand, and they broke the coral, you know, and it was a shame. So I was completely messed up with the guy. I was shouting to everyone, "Oh, get your feet off the coral reef, right? Because you're just destroying it, and it's not something you could easily repair, right? I mean,
it's a massive amount of work. They're not
a massive
repaired.
Amount of work. So it's a pity that it's that the locals there weren't that hard on the tourists. But and the one thing I also want to ask you, because you say El Nino and the storm is it making the water also cloudy then, or is
We haven't had much problem with the clouding and red tide this time around. It's really just the water is hot. I mean, it's like a bathtub right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also heard that in Miami, it was the same, right? The temperatures was just 38 degrees or something. You can't imagine. It's just indeed stepping into a hot tub, and that's not what you want. The ocean is to cool down, right? not to warm up.
Typical years, around here, we go to the beach, we get in the water, we cool down. And this year, it's like you're taking a bath. You just... cold water is non-existent right now around here.
No, crazy. Hey, crazy. And Lee. But okay, so I will promise you, Lee, that I will someday. I will, when my kids grow up and when I, when I have the guts to have a long plane, long flight with the boys, I will visit.
I have a 3-year-old as well, and we've been delaying a trip to Finland, where my family is from, for a while. Yeah, we're not brave enough yet for that.
No, it's not something you want to do at this stage, right?
Ours is 8. I think also, traveling is difficult with a child. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You said you own a pet. It makes me curious. And you like to scuba dive. So perhaps you have some fish or something. But I don't know.
No fish. No. I have a my wife is a veterinarian, yeah. So we're a bit of animal fanatics around here. We have two dogs and two cats currently.
Ah, great.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Cool. And you don't buy all your groceries with Bitcoin? How come?
We tried so hard, but there are certain items like frozen pizzas that we're still working on obtaining with Bitcoin. I'd say about 80% of our food budget is on Bitcoin at this point.
Oh, but that's a lot, man.
Yeah, 80%.
Yeah, it's the majority of our food for sure. You know, we make a conscious effort at it to buy when we can from farmers markets, direct from farmers, things like that. But things like cheese, like Parmigiano Reggiano, yeah. Frozen pizza, those are kind of things we have to get at the supermarket. And we can talk about it in a bit, but I'm close to getting them to accept Bitcoin. I've met the owner a few times. I'm close. I just got to...
So we have a scoop,
awesome,
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's just one thing I wanted to ask you, because I saw you on Twitter. I think it was a reaction on someone that was a bit critical of the Lightning Network being used at the web. And you said, well, I think it's an interesting project. Can you elaborate why you think the Lightning Network in the browser is a interesting project of concept?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lightning Network in the browser is probably our best path forward to having the ability to be self-custodial on the Lightning Network without the gatekeepers of the app stores. I mean, this has affected Bitcoin Jungle. It's affected every other Bitcoin app that I'm aware of over the past several months. Both Apple and Google, within a month of each other, threatened to delist Bitcoin Jungle from the App Store, right?
Yeah.
So then we get a list of 21 questions that we get to answer. We have 5 days to do it, or we're permanently banned, yeah, right? Luckily, we made it through this round, right? I had the magic incantation of words to assuage their fears this time, but next time, who knows, right? These app stores are really the gatekeepers of our time. And I think browser functionality is the only opt-out from that world.
Yeah, it's the same with Noster, the apps on Noster, with the ones who are providing Zaps and economic activity.
They want their 30% just want to have of all economic activity, right? I mean,
Okay, cool. Okay, so before we enter the 21 minutes, Lee, can you maybe tell us, in a short way, what's your history? What brought you to Costa Rica and changing your Bitcoin dream, I guess?
Sure. So my name is Lee Salmonen. I'm a software developer by trade. College dropout. Taught myself how to code. Right. You know, went from working at McDonald's to working at software companies. In 2013, I founded a SaaS product called Ginger. It's a B2B SaaS product in the pet care space. So it was an app that helps pet care businesses manage all their reservations, their customer records, all of that. But importantly, payments. This app ran all of your credit card payments through our app. And of course, there's a way to make money off of that, right? And so for the past 10 years, I've been on a deep dive into the fiat payments world. It led me to the conclusion that it's awful and it needs to die quickly. So fast forward, pandemic hit. I had my first son. We're living in rural Colorado. My son turned one and we realized he had never had a play date. And we were like, okay, something has to change. My business partner had moved to Costa Rica in the year prior in 2019. And he called me up out of the blue. He's like, dude, you're coming for vacation. Forget this Corona stuff. Just, you got to come. So we're like, all right. So, we fly down there with a one-year-old, which is awful. We get here. We plan on spending a month here. And by the end of the second week, we were shopping for houses. We were just like, all right, we're moving here. We're out of the U.S. matrix. We're done. This is where we're going.
Cool.
Within the span of 3 months, we bought a house here. We sold our house in the States. We moved everything, including our four pets here. And I was loving it, right? I mean, we're at the beach every day. We're meeting all these really interesting people. making new friends. And I happened to be sitting at a restaurant and in town here, our local Indian restaurant. And the guy next to me, I have these, I don't know if you could see it, these PHP tattoos
on
my arms. The guy next to me is like, "Hey, you're a programmer, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "Are you into Bitcoin?" I'm like, "Oh boy, am I?" you know, and he had a son the same age. So we sat there till 10 o'clock at night and let the kids run wild. And we're just like, Bitcoin. And he's the one that introduced me into Gavoy, the Lightning Network, Bitcoin Beach. And he was like, "You know, I think something like this could exist here." And that really brought me back into the real world. And I was like, I saw an opportunity. You know, Corona really changed me. Like, I became much more freedom tech focused. Like, I think it's the only thing I care about in technology at this point. And so I was all in. I had to be a part of it.
To me, it sounds like a script that you couldn't have written before. Yeah, before all of this, right? I mean, it could also be something I had gone through if I were in your in your shoes, right? So crazy, man.
Yeah, you know, it's a little cheesy, but I'm always taken back to this quote from Steve Jobs that he gave at the Stanford University graduation. And he said, you know, you can never connect the dots of your life looking forward. You can only connect the dots of your life looking back. Yeah. And when I look back, it's so obvious, right, where I would kind of end up. But looking forward, I mean, I was, you know, I had no idea. I got into Bitcoin in 2012. I mean, we were like me and another guy. We were working at this software development company and we're, you know, smoking weed all day. And he was like, "Hey, you got to check out this Bitcoin thing. We can mine it from our laptops and not work." And, you know, I was like, "Cool. I, you know, Bitcoin sounds cool." <not? laughs> and, you know, that was 10 years ago. I would never think looking forward 10 years, this is where I'd end up.
No, crazy. Well, cool story. Great background, man.
Absolutely.
I must admit it. I'm a bit jealous hearing this. You know, okay, not jealous of me.
Sounds like
taking
a dream.
Yeah, it sounds like a dream, but I don't have the guts to move my whole my whole family.
Well, that's
to,
one of the dots, right? One of the dots for me was I was a teenager and I moved to Chile as an exchange student in high school. I was one of the youngest exchange students ever to participate in Rotary International. I was 15. And, you know, it's a 1-year program. I stayed the 1 year. I loved it so much. The family that I lived with, their son loved living in America. Right. Let's go for 2 years. So, you know, 15 to 17 and a half, I spent living in Chile with this Chilean family.
Yeah. Okay. You are Spanish speaking then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that also makes it a bit easier, I guess, because there's no barrier on language or something.
Yeah.
So.
It's a little harder to gringo me. Like I don't play that game. So.
okay. Cool. Yeah. Good. But Edward's also Spanish.
Yeah, my mother is from
easier,
Spain, so
easier for Edward.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. Okay, guys, hey, let's enter the 21 minutes because we prepared a lot of questions for you about Bitcoin Jungle, but it has to be in the 21 minutes, Lee. So if you are ready, we would really love to enter that part.
Let's do it.
Connetti il mondo.
Well, adoption, of course, is key for Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. And given that the initial focus for Bitcoin Jungle is on tourism and restaurants, how do you plan to ensure that local population also adopts Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. So we handle it on a few different fronts. One, I estimate roughly 50% of the businesses in Costa Rica that accept Bitcoin are owned by Costa Ricans.
Yeah.
So it's not like every business here is foreigner owned, right? Although that exists, of course, it's not a 100% for sure. On the second front, you know, education is a huge part of what we do. So we host regular meetups in Spanish with Spanish speakers, myself and others, and we just have conversations about Bitcoin, how it can help them in their daily life. How they can use it, you know, both as an alternative investment vehicle, something Costa Ricans don't have a lot of access to, And they can use it as a way of facilitating payment with foreigners in particular, which a huge part of Costa Rica's economy depends on. So the education piece is important, and we're just starting now. We're planning a program with a local public school to start teaching Mi Primer Bitcoin to teenagers in the public school.
Cool. And what are the most common concerns then, or misconception you encounter when educating the local merchants or people?
With the local merchant, with local people, the hardest thing to combat is that Bitcoin is a get-rich-quick scheme. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 years ago. So before my time in Costa Rica, these pyramid schemes were extremely popular in Costa Rica. You pay $20 this week, you'll get $40 next week. It goes great until they rug pull, obviously. but combating that, right? People will just say, "Oh, I've heard Bitcoin is another get rich quick scheme." And I'm like, "Wow, no, maybe those shit coins are, but let's talk Bitcoin only." Yeah. Like, what does it mean, right? And how I view it as a long-term investment and certainly not a get-rich-quick scheme. You'd have to be pretty lucky to make that happen.
I can also imagine that vendors initially can be skeptical about the volatility of Bitcoin, perhaps. How do you educate them about the long-term value of Bitcoin?
Yeah, so our strategy from day one was to provide an off-ramp. Right. Yeah. Costa Rica did not until we came around have a Bitcoin exchange. In fact, the banks here, if they see a transaction from Coinbase or Binance, they just close your bank account. No questions asked. You're done. You're cut out. So offering a reliable, affordable off ramp was key. And the way that worked was I showed up to the farmers markets every week with a bunch of cash and I offered to buy all your Bitcoin. when we launched at a farmer's market was the first place we started. It's the biggest pain point. These people, salt of the earth farmers, the banks won't give them a credit card machine. They can only accept cash. For me as a foreigner, it's hard to get cash. Natural payment friction ensues, right? Where, even if I can get cash from the ATM, I've got big bills and they're running around the market trying to make change and no one wants to give up their small bills to make the change. So you end up having to buy more stuff. It's like a nightmare. So we launched at the farmer's market. Luckily I happen to be friends with the lady who organizes our local farmer's market, and she trusted me and my family kind of on a personal level. And so she went to the vendors and said, "Look, I trust him. You trust me. We have this web of trust. He's going to be here with cash if you don't want this Bitcoin thing." So what did we see happen? Week one, nobody wanted Bitcoin, right? At the end of that first week, like I had to give out a bunch of cash and I had all this Bitcoin, right? Which is great. I love stacking KYC. Free.
Yeah, no sure, we all do.
With me. But by the end of the third week, we started to see merchants say, "Wait, why is this guy so eager to buy this Bitcoin thing back for me?" Right? Like if it was worthless, why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense. He's handing me all this cash, right? What is this Bitcoin? And so naturally, one by one, they would ask me to give them more information, to answer some questions they had. They have a cousin who heard about Bitcoin, or they watched a YouTube video. They have questions.
So you almost naturally created a FOMO moment from them live, seeing you stacking sets.
Without pushing them. So it's up to them to ask. I love it.
I hate pushing people into anything. Yeah, that's absolutely not what I'm about. Yeah.
And you obviously also have an average middle class Costa Ricans, and they have limited access to investment vehicles. I think you mentioned that in a previous podcast. How do you plan to educate them about Bitcoin, not just as a currency, but also as a store of value? So effectively a opportunity for them invest in something.
Yeah, so that's where our meetups come in. We average 80 to 100 people per meetup. We usually organize a group dinner first. So we all eat dinner. Then we have maybe a 45-minute to 1 hour kind of prepared presentation, just about what's on our minds. Either it's me or maybe Francis from Bull Bitcoin, some of our other co-founders here. And we just talk about, whatever for an hour. And then we just open it up to Q&A. And so we bring everybody who knows about Bitcoin can come to the front of the room. everybody wants to learn about Bitcoin, you know, gathers around, and we just pass around the mic and just start a kind of an open-ended conversation.
That sounds great.
Are you also succeeding in getting that particular middle class interested in Bitcoin? Is it also, how does that
work? So we've seen among the businesses that accept Bitcoin, we've seen a huge growth in the amount of people that keep their Bitcoin, right? We actually have our first restaurant here. He just crossed 1 BTC in restaurant sales from burgers and smoothies. It was a huge, he called me, he was like over the moon, you know, he thought it would take him 5 years to do this. He was ecstatic. Now what we're working on, so I think we can announce it, Bull Bitcoin and Bitcoin Jungle have formed a partnership, and we're rolling out the first instant KYC-free, low-fee exchange in Costa Rica, Lightning Exchange.
That's interesting.
Awesome.
And we launched it in a kind of a private beta around 6 weeks ago. We already have over 200 people that have used it. And the natural stackers are emerging. I mean, we're starting to see patterns of people that are stacking $10 a day, $20 a day, maybe $1,000 a week in some cases. But now there is a way to buy Bitcoin in Costa Rica kind of in a more formal way. Mm-hmm. People that we've educated are deciding to stack, which is cool. Really encouraging. Cool.
And are there any regulations that you still miss to see Bitcoin more implemented in Costa Rica? And what role could you have as Bitcoin Jungle?
It's a bit of a contentious topic. Currently, Bitcoin exists in an entirely gray area in Costa Rica. It's not illegal by any means.
Yep.
In fact, the law explicitly allows for bartering for goods and services. So, you know, if Bitcoin is an asset, one can barter with that for something else, right? At the same time, there are no laws that explicitly allow Bitcoin. And so you see, these banks don't allow you to use exchanges, right? Not because of a law, just because of the lack of a law, the lack of clarity. And so, I think there are people involved in Bitcoin Jungle that like it that way and think it should stay that way. And I don't know, I'm undecided. I think there's definitely benefit to providing regulatory clarity in the space to allow it to really grow in terms of, like, say, real estate purchases, right, or larger foreign investments through Bitcoin. But there's risk in that as well, right? You don't control the legislators. You don't know who has their ear. So what we do at Bitcoin Jungle, we are part of the Bitcoin Association of Costa Rica. And through that, there's a law in Costa Rica that says if the government is going to propose a law that it affects an industry that has an industry association domestically, the Congress is required to consult that industry association. And so there is currently talk of implementing a crypto law in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And we think we've been fairly successful thus far in educating the legislators around crypto versus Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Why having a Bitcoin-friendly law that doesn't necessarily exclude other cryptos, but recognizes crypto as a different class of product. We've been fairly successful in that so far. We've had legislators come down and spend Bitcoin with their wallet of Satoshi and buy lunch here and check out what we're doing. And that was a goal of our project all along, was to provide an example for the country to look at how Bitcoin can benefit Costa Rica.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I think that's most important. I mean, top down instead of bottom up. But okay. But are there also plans to establish Bitcoin ADMs, so the professional ones, instead of you running with cash
with financial institutions? It would be great if I didn't have to do it all myself, right? It would be pretty great.
Exactly. But are there plans to create a real off-ramp for converting Bitcoin into a local currency and the other way around?
Yeah. So we've just launched it a month ago in partnership with Bull Bitcoin. So today, from the Bitcoin Jungle app, you can download the app and have access to an instant on-off ramp to Bitcoin.
Cool.
So it's a bit more formalized today. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. More safer also for you.
Definitely. Yeah. I definitely have a bit of a reputation around town as the dude who walks around buying Bitcoin, you know. Luckily, we made friends. I have farmers tell me, you know, if I ever hear about anybody wanting to do anything to, you know, we're going to let you know. We got your back.
Yeah.
Thank you, me.
Oh, nice.
And can you share some details about what kind of educational resources or programs you're planning to offer within the Bitcoin Embassy?
Yeah, absolutely. So continue our meetups, right? Spanish yep. language meetups, offering the Mi Primer Bitcoin class in public schools and private schools. And something I was just made aware of, that Costa Rica has a youth unemployment rate of 27%. I find that appalling in a country yeah. with so much, so many resources. It's just so wrong. And I really want to find a way to tap into that 18 to 24 year old market, give them access to Bitcoin, and then embed them into the global digital economy. Like, there's so much people can do from anywhere in the world now. Offer a service, offer a product, and you can get paid with Bitcoin. I was just made aware of that this weekend, and I've been like thinking about it ever since. So that's what I really want to work on.
And at Adopting Bitcoin almost a year ago, Rich Scottford mentioned a desire for decentralized adoption across Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate on how you envision this happening?
Absolutely. So, you know, like you said, like, I'm kind of the guy around town here, the Bitcoin guy, right? And of course, I can't be in every part of the country at once. I don't really even have a desire to like travel around the country all the time. Like I said, I have a 3-year-old son that yeah. wouldn't really work. And so what we've done is we try to find Bitcoiners in other parts of the country that share our values and goals, and then provide them with all the tools, kind of experience and technology that we've built, and like hand it to them and say, hey, create your Bitcoin jungle community in your town. You can use our wallet, our point of sale, the exchange now, and we'll tell you everything we've learned thus far. Like, please just go do it. We've had limited success. I think the biggest trouble has been finding people that align with our goals and values.
So not people that are also wanted to implement another shitcoin or that's
the most difficult part. Popular in Costa Rica.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Hey, and you're using the Bitcoin Jungle app there. Are there also any plans to add educational features within the app to help users understand it better?
Yeah, so Bitcoin Jungle app is a fork of Galoy, right? Yep. Which is the Bitcoin Beach wallet as well. There is that kind of intro to Bitcoin. You can like read a paragraph, answer a multiple choice question, get a couple sats, right? And it's pretty high level. We have had a huge amount of people asking for like a level 2 of that, like take it another
of course.
Step. So yeah, we really plan on building that. It's highly requested. And also people said if we could 10x the number of sats we give them to, that'd be pretty nifty.
Sure. But how was the user response to the Bitcoin Jungle app? Can you imagine the people who haven't touched Bitcoin or maybe haven't even read about Bitcoin and then suddenly have to use an app like the Bitcoin Jungle app? How was that first response of the user?
Honestly, it's easier than any banking app in this country. The apps that particularly the government-owned banks provide you here are atrocious. Like, I'm a software developer and I can barely figure out how to send $10 to someone. You know, it's like, it's bad. So, you know, we give them this simple app. And of course, you know, usually like me or someone else is there with them with their first payment, right? And yeah. So, you know, they download the app, they open it up and we say, okay, now click receive. Okay, now let me scan that QR code with my phone. Okay, boom, now you have Bitcoin. And they're like, whoa, okay, how do I send it back? And we're like, okay, scan this QR code and hit send. And they're like, whoa,
this is easy.
That's easier than my bank. I can do this.
If they see it with their own eyes.
Woman. Yeah, we have a 78-year-old woman who takes Bitcoin at her little stand at the farmer's market. She's a huge proponent of us. She has a crazy backstory. Like, she is born to be a Bitcoiner. and she just gets it. Like, She just does it. She has never asked
any questions. It is pretty straightforward, right? I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, the Bitcoin Jungle app, but all those other app wallets of Satoshi, it's the same. I mean, yeah, it's just. I mean, I think it takes you 5 minutes to get through the app completely. So, and you teamed up with Galloy to you make use of Galloy for the Bitcoin Jungle app. Are there other things you're working on together with Galloy?
At the moment, no. I always, when I build something, I send them a PR and they either take it or they don't, right?
that's how open source works.
Yeah,
but I mean, I built the Galloy Noster connection, right? So you can do zaps through the Galloy stack. LNURLP, like I was the first one to implement that. LNURLW, I was the first one to implement that in the Galloy stack. And we PR it all back. I think
that's nice.
One thing we've done that's a bit different is we've connected Galloy stack to BTC Pay server. And so anyone with a Bitcoin Jungle wallet can also have their own BTC Pay server store associated. And I think Galloy is interested in that. You know, they have their little like cash register web app that pairs with the wallet. I think BTC Pay Server just offers so much beyond that, but I'm really nudging them to look at integrating BTC Pay Server into the stack. Wow.
And are you also looking to collaborate with other similar initiatives around the world, given that Bitcoin Jungle also was inspired, of course, by Bitcoin Beach? Maybe you can inspire, well, I know you're inspiring also other communities. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've worked really closely with Fernando in Praia Bitcoin and Jericho Cara. We just get along really well. I really love what he's doing, the technology that he's building. So I built probably the bulk of the bulk card stuff that he does there. We would talk and I'd say, cool, I'll build it. So I just build it for him. He'd deploy it and we'd iterate, right? So we really get along. I'm a huge supporter of his project. We've had, 5, 10, 15 people reach out to us that are thinking about implementing a Bitcoin community and where they live. And I'm always happy to provide, my thoughts on it and just answer whatever they want to know. Mm-hmm. But for every, 10 people I talk to, maybe one person takes action on it, right? So I think... I don't know. Maybe it takes a little bit of cojones to just pull the trigger and do it, right? I'm a doer. I'm not much of a thinker. Like I just do stuff, and maybe it's really retarded or dumb. Like I just do it, and if it's wrong, I figure it out really quick and change it, right? Yeah. But I've never been one to spend a lot of time thinking. Right? Like I'm an action kind of guy.
Yeah. Talking about El Salvador, it's maybe a bit of a sidestep, but how was the reaction from maybe, I don't know if you know the reaction of your government, but your locals maybe on El Salvador making Bitcoin legal tender there? We follow it. It was also on the news here in Holland. How many the thousands of kilometers we are away from El Salvador, but you guys are, there's only one country in between you and
one
El Salvador.
Country, yeah.
So, but how is the reaction and is the government actively following the,
Okay. So the local people, we live, in the South Pacific coast of Costa Rica, it's a rural area. And like many countries, politically, you see this urban-rural divide, right? It's very so common to see nowadays, and we have the same here. People in this area, generally speaking in the country, love Bukele. Whether or not they've heard about the Bitcoin law, they freaking love Bukele.
That's because he fights the MS-13, or...?
Yep, exactly. Okay. Law and order. They want law and order. Which is something we also sometimes lack here. So, I told a restaurant waiter once I was going to adopting Bitcoin last year. I was going to El Salvador, and he's like, "Hey, like if you see Bukele, tell him we love him here." Okay, I'm probably not going to see Bukele, but sure, Hernan, I will tell him that you guys love him here. On the flip side, the government, you know, the Costa Rican government has largely taken the view of the United States, which is that Bukele is a dictator, right?
Okay.
And so publicly, the government can't be seen as doing anything Bukele does.
Okay.
So we've had this paradoxical effect where we recently learned, you know, Costa Rica has 10 gigawatts of sitting unused hydroelectric energy, right? And Samson Mao and Jan 3 has been here several times meeting with the legislators, talking to them about Bitcoin mining in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And publicly, they're like, this is great, but we can't do anything Bukele does. We have to frame this differently.
But the interesting thing is, and we officially run out of time, but I really want to ask you this still. But the interesting thing is that I don't see it as a gamble, but I can imagine that a lot of people see it as a gamble. What Bukele does, right? He also purchases Bitcoin with government capital. But the interesting thing is, if we are entering the next bull market, then you will see a enormous growth in wealth. We all believe this will happen. The next bull market will be there. Maybe next year or the year after. That's not sure, of course. But then the story will also have then Bukele gets another boost to his story. Not only fighting the criminals with the attack on the MS-13 gangs, but also growing wealth for his country by adopting the Bitcoin to their reserves, but also adopting it as legal tender. So I think that is a really interesting narrative to follow, and especially for you guys, the surrounding countries who are maybe in the same way affected to that.
They're watching, and they're adopting a wait and see, right? They want to see what this does. You know, I think Costa Rica has a huge opportunity in Bitcoin mining, probably larger than El Salvador's opportunity, to be honest.
Yeah.
The country doesn't have to get orange pilled to mine Bitcoin, right?
No.
They could mine the Bitcoin.
They can just make it an economic activity, right? I mean,
yeah, 100%. And you don't really have to convince anyone of anything to do that. Like there's unused energy. You can use energy to mine Bitcoin. You can take Bitcoin and sell it for fiat. And now all of a sudden you're injecting more dollars into the economy here, which strengthens the colon. Like, it's a really straightforward discussion. I expect to see more on that front first.
Yeah, very interesting. And I also, I'm not an expert on your locals and all, but I can imagine that people are then driven to step to the government and say, look at the neighbors. They're not only fighting, or they're not only wiped out the complete gangs, but also they're just adding more and more activity to the economy. Why don't we do the same, right? I mean, it's hard for the government to just stand with their point and not adopting it.
You know, Costa Rica's economy today, I think, is roughly 25% of GDP is tourism, like international tourism. It's a huge chunk of the economy here. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Costa Rica had the lock and key on ecotourism, right? Like, that's how Costa Rica's built their brand. It's how they built their tourism industry. And they did it at a time where not many other countries were catering to that market of tourists, right? Today, there are a ton of options. Like, everywhere you go, ecotourism is a thing. In every country, even the United States, which is laughable, but Costa Rica, in my opinion, needs to find like that new edge, right? Like the new angle, the new edge, for the next 20 years. I think Bitcoin can do that for them in terms of Bitcoin tourism, Bitcoin mining, foreign investment in Bitcoin companies, opening up shop here. I see it as a huge opportunity for the country. I'm not sure that there really are a lot of other opportunities of that scale on the short-term horizon here. So I really hope they look at it and just decide, you know, as a rational economic actor, that it makes sense for them. I really believe it would.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Lee. We will definitely will be following it. This remains an interesting story. So thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, we have to play Lightning Bingo, Lee. So we prepared three questions for you, but you may only choose one. So we have one from Arel Edelsnor. He's from Mi Primaire Bitcoin. And Arnold Jubach, he's a fellow Dutchie, and he's a Bitcoin nomad, also been to El Salvador and all the other communities.
And Bitcoin Jungle.
Bitcoin Jungle. He also went to Bitcoin Jungle, by the way. I think you might know him. And Brandon Green, and he's from Bitcoin BTC Inc. So you have to choose one.
Let's go with number two.
Okay, Arnold.
All right, there he comes.
Hey, I'm Arnold Hubach, cheerleader from BitcoinFocus.nl. And my question for you is, what is the single most important thing that we all together have to do in terms of Bitcoin education?
Adoption is education. You can't go into a room with your average people and explain Bitcoin to them in an academic sense, right?
No.
It doesn't mean anything to them until they have received Bitcoin for the first time. And not just received Bitcoin, they had to do a proof of work to receive that Bitcoin. It's something I've seen over and over. If I hand someone free Bitcoin, it means nothing to them. They'll forget about it tomorrow. But if they have to do something, even something silly, like show up to a meetup for that Bitcoin, all of a sudden now it has value to them. Once they have that asset that they view as valuable, then you can start the conversation about education and what Bitcoin really is. So you need to go out there and spend your Bitcoin, spend and replace, get the Bitcoin in the hands of more people, make them work for it, provide a good or service for it. That starts the conversation.
Yeah, that really works.
Thanks. Thanks for the answer.
Thanks again.
Conecta el mundo.
Okay, it was a really interesting talk, Lee, and I think the chances just rise that I, at the end will end up somewhere in Costa Rica.
I will help you with the Spanish.
thanks, Edward, thanks. I really appreciate it. where can people follow you, Lee, the project, but also you personally?
Yeah, the project is primarily on Twitter, Bitcoin Jungle CR. Me personally, I'm on a Noster only phase, so you can find me. My NIP05 is just leesalmanen.com. You know, you'll find me on the Bitcoin Jungle profile on Noster as well.
Awesome. Great. Cool. And for everybody else, thanks for listening and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. So if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, Connect the World. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week with the same Lightning channel. Farewell, Lee.
Adios.
Adios.